Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host. Way to start off, right? Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, and welcome again. It's going to be a great night tonight. Chat room starting to fill up. We have a listener on the phone line. Welcome, Sharp Warp. Remember, folks, you can call in anytime if you're driving down the road, just want to listen, pop in that wireless headset. Just give us a call. Just let us know, hey, I'm just listening. No problem. You can keep on listening right ahead. Or if you want to ever talk, just call in anyway. The number for that is 714-816-4727. All right. And, of course, you can always chat in the chat room by going to kayakfishingradio.com, hitting the live broadcast button, scrolling all the way down, hitting the login button underneath the chat room. Click that sucker. All right? It's going to come up with Facebook stuff and a bunch of other things. Just click on the Facebook page as long as it's open. You'll be logged right in. We know exactly who you are. All right? Let's get started with our fishing reports. We're going to do it right. I haven't played this in a long while. For the Mid-Atlantic fishing reports from South Carolina to Delaware. Let's get it started. Alright, a little something different. That's actually the intro for the new piece that I'm going to do here in a little bit. But let's get things rolling. South Carolina. If you don't know, now you know. Get out there. If you live in Charleston, Beaufort, have some fun with it. It is hot, but you can definitely get in some good fish right now. And possibly see a really big bull shark. We've all seen the videos of that that monster bull shark off of Cherry Point and Desto, I believe is the exact area. Beautiful shark, big bull, can't miss that blunt nose, doing what they do, being on what they can. You hear it more often than not, or bull shark, tiger sharks, things like that coming up and eating someone's stringer or right at the side of the boat. So be wary. If you see them, avoid them. If he starts following you, beach it and wait. That's the best thing you can do. So, but things are going off. A couple of guys, LGB, I believe, was out offshore this past weekend. I know the offshore bite's been pretty decent for snappers and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you can get out there, get out there. Have some fun with it. Up to North Carolina. Great news for anyone who fishes up there around around Avon, Hatteras, places like that. It's the best year for tarpon up in North Carolina in a long time. Again, a lot of good reports of some really nice tarpon being pulled right now. So, get out there. Look for them swimming around the flats. A lot of them are cruising the beaches. So look for those big man-eating pods. That's where they pulled a couple of them off this past weekend. Ooh, they didn't get a chance to go offshore. Charter boat broke down day before your trip. That sucks. I hope he either refunded you or rescheduled you a trip. Because, yeah, that's just wrong. That was LGB, by the way. Posted in the chat room. But yeah, around the bunker schools, they're cruising back and forth. If you got a live bunker, hook it to the nose, pull up to it, you see a big flash, it's either big jack or tarpon. Toss it in there and hold on. You'll definitely get into them. The cobia have been biting good, and the king mackerel really starting to pick up on the offshore side. No more than 300 yards off the beaches, and just paddle away with a pogey or one or two bunker behind the boat, trolling. Not too fast, just enough that they can swim straight and hold on. So when they hit, they're going to hit hard. They're going to just when you want to be on some of your bigger tackle. So get out there and get on them. We're going all the way up to Delaware, if that's what I do. Again, the flounder bite. If you can get out there, the flounder kind of moved a little farther offshore. We're talking no more than, half a mile off. you find those artificial reefs, you're going to get into them. Triggerfish are being caught, sheep's head are being caught, black sea bass. The usual suspects for this time of year are there. So find those offshore wrecks, offshore pieces of structure, and get into them. Down to Maryland. Really good fishing right now in Maryland. You know, some stripers in the bay being caught. You know, just everywhere you can think of, you're pulling in fish. I heard of a really good bite of black sea bass along a breaking wall in Ocean City, Maryland. There's several breaking walls in there. But, yeah, they're everywhere. Get in there. There's some really nice sheep's head in there in the mix, too. So grab some clams, grab some fiddlers or sand fleas. Hint, hint, wink, wink, sand fleas on the way. And, you know, bottom rig, probably one odd hook. Drop it down there along that breaking wall and just hold on. Feel that tap, set the hook, get your fish. All right. Simple as that. Down to Virginia. We're going to start probably in the middle neck area. Or middle peninsula, excuse me. Really good puppy drum bite right now up past Mobjack. They're really getting into them pretty good. I've heard some really good catches, you know, 10, 15 redfish days. Granted, they're not that big, but give them another month or two. Probably September is when they'll be pushing 20 inches, and they do grow that fast. So they're catching 15, 16 inches. So probably by September, they'll be 20, 22 inches. It'll be really good. Everyone's throwing the usual suspects. Cut mullet on a fish finder rig underneath the poplin cord. Gudgeons, soft plastics, top waters even. They're hitting it all. They're really aggressive, and this is what we've been waiting for a few years now. It's for really good puppy drum movement back in Virginia, and we've got it finally. HRBT is still holding flounder. Remember, folks, there was a sighting of a very large bull shark a few 2 weeks ago, cruising the area eating flounder. Found him doing one of the Apex Predator Program missions, and he's all of 8 feet. So if he's still around, just be wary, be safe, and keep your fish off the stringer. Excuse me for something that caught my throat. Trying to get rid of that. Down in the Lynnhaven Rudy area, really good fishing right now. Puppy drum are in Lynnhaven thick. They were kind of sporadic not too long ago, but they have now moved in. I had a report from a buddy of mine catching anywhere from, I think he caught 8 on Sunday, I believe, and he was probably less than half a mile from the boat ramp at Crab Creek. So it gives you an idea. They're in there pretty good right now. Not much size to them, but super light tackle, i.e. your trout gear. You'll get a great fight. And remember, the slot limit for redfish is 18 to 26. So if you're going to keep them, you have to be 18 to 26. Enjoy them. let's see here. Good cobia bite right now off the Sandbridge. You can paddle out to the Yellow Can. It's about a 2 to 3 mile paddle. Not even that. Probably more like a mile and a half, I should say. Paddle out there. Take some chum, do whatever you want to do. But they're out by that Yellow Can pretty good. And in between there, too, so keep your eyes open. You'll find them. Some kings are also been caught. So a lot of stuff going on right now. You know, the usual suspects, trout bites been surprisingly picking up all of a sudden. So definitely get out there, enjoy it. Things are only going to get better from here. You know, we got the striper season a few months away. And speaking of a few months away, if you don't know that's what's coming up, then this should remind you.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That's right, folks. The Boondoggle, October 5th to the 8th. It's going to be up here in Virginia Beach at First Landing State Park. It's the weekend after the TKA tournament. So come on up, spend the week, enjoy what Virginia has to offer in Northeast North Carolina, and really enjoy yourselves. It's going to be a great time. We have a lot of fish. There's a lot of fishing being done. Working on some getting some raffle stuff right now. So stay tuned for that. All right. Let's get right into it. As I mentioned before, our new piece, let me step back. I've been working with the NOAA Fisheries Service Apex Predator Program now for about 2 months. Getting fishing reports and tagging sharks. That's basically the basis. Apex predator, the only apex predator in the oceans next to whales is sharks. And sharks eat whales, so I guess that makes them the true apex next to humans. So with that, the apex predator, I joined them about 2 months ago, like I said. And been talking with them about, you know, what we can do to, you know, spread the word. And I hooked up with a group. If you watch TV, you've probably seen them. It's a team from Osarch, specifically Chris Fisher, and what used to be Sharkman on National Geographic, and now Shark Wranglers on History Channel, and a documentation of tagging monster great whites. They're currently in South Africa. I think they're trying to tag 50 sharks in 40 days, I believe it is, which is unheard of. It's a huge amount of sharks being caught and tagged in some very nasty water. I think it's on Sundays at 10 on History Channel. But Chris Fisher, who will be a guest next few weeks, just got to figure out when he's going to be back home, or Captain Brett or Jody. Well, they'll be on to talk about Osarch. And I had a great opportunity of chatting with Chris Fisher over Facebook, of all things, quite recently. And I threw this by him, and he said go ahead. So we're going to do the Osarch Minute. Here we go. All right. This is the Osarch Shark Conservation Minute. Basically, what this is going to be all about is we're going to talk about ways that you can do at home. Doesn't matter if you're along the coast or in Kansas, on helping preserve the lifeblood of our oceans, and that is sharks. Those who work the business of, you know, making a living from the ocean, or as Chris puts it, Mother Ocean, and that's definitely true. In that sense, know that sharks play a very vital role. And the only predator to sharks when they're at their peak is humans. And there are groups of humans that are killing sharks by the millions every year. And I'm talking about the shark finners. It is truly despicable what they do. All they do is they cut the pretty much the pectoral fins 9 times out of 10. If they're really lucky, the shark gets his head cut off before he's thrown back in, meat and all. And all he takes is the fins. It is a true... sometimes they even take the jaws out of the shark while he's still alive. It is a true travesty. And this is my kind of weak moment is, what they do to these things. And all the fins are used in shark fin soup. The demand has gone up dramatically, and it's rather surprising how many restaurants in the United States serve it. So how do you do your part? Raise your voices, folks. We asked you to raise your voice last year, to save the Manhattan in Chesapeake Bay, and actually the whole East Coast from Omega and their fleet of Manhattan ships. And everyone heard our voices loud and clear. It's time to really bring it up now, because when we lose sharks, things really will become out of whack, and our oceans will go down the drain rather quickly. So, so how do you help? Really simple. Just get the word out. Talk to people. Let them know, you know, how important sharks are. Do a little research. Go to osarch.org. Check them out. There's a ton of info on there, a great little bit of info on, you know, what you need to know, how to start, you know, your own thing. And that'll be next week on how we can, you know, better improve, you know, preserving the one of my personal favorite fish in the sea, sharks. If you don't like it, don't have to listen. But, you know, we have to all do our part to, you know, save what we can for the next generation. And I'd also like to congratulate the two young men that I met on Saturday who are now named after sharks. Shark number 30530 is now Brian, after the nice young man. And then shark number 385031 is Anthony, another young man that I met that were on a boat with me. Caught two sharks, tagged both sharks. One was a spinner shark. That would be Brian. And the Dusty went to Anthony. Both released healthy and raring to go. So that was a very good thing to see. You know, them, you know, the kids that were scared of sharks really grew towards them. And to, you know, see them after I let the shark go, you know, happy, it was a good thing. I think they're the next, they're our future, you know. That's the whole point of our lives, folks, is to spread the word onto the next generation. No point in taking it to our grave. All the knowledge that we have, spread it. It's a good thing. All right. Now with that sentimental stuff done, bring in some goofy stuff. Mr. Greg Becker has not shown up, even though this is his intro. Arlie would like this. All right, let's get right into a topic of the night. Let's see here, I've got several things here. Actually, let's hear what you guys want to talk about. Guys in the chat room, oh yeah, where's the shine? Man, I wish I had some. I've got to go down to Georgia for that, buddy. Post up a question, folks. Let's talk it out. Let's take a minute. Talk amongst yourselves. Anything. I'm kind of lost between a rock and a hard place. Anyone? Want to talk about. Okay. We've got Arlie with Fish for 200. And King Rat comes along with, let's talk about why the HRBT has 100 million ribbon fish right now. Are they ribbon fish, King Rat, or are they hound fish? They're two different species. Hound fish have that real long, almost billfish kind of gar-looking thing. Ribbon fish don't really have that on them. And the Hatteras Beach closures. Hang on, we got a caller. 1 second. Caller, you are live on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. That's you.
How you doing?
Doing okay. Who's this?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, this is LGB. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Doing good. Doing good.
Nice.
You got through to me, so I figured I'd call in.
All right. Cool, man. Well, it's a pleasure having you on. We're going to talk about, we had King Rack post up, and you probably see it in the chat room there, about the, yeah, that would be ribbon fish then. If they're paper thin, they're King Rat. Real, you know, not thick, but tall body. They kind of slither in the water. That's a ribbon fish, like you said. Ribbon fish eat a lot of small bait, i.e. the rain bait, shiner, stuff like that. They're very aggressive. And that's why they're probably at the HRBT. You have so much bait in the water. Just the reason the stripers are in the fall. It's an easy meal. They'll come by and they'll get in those spots behind the pylons where they don't have to work very hard, just like every other fish, and just pick off those little bits and pieces as they come by. Ribbon fish are excellent bait for kingfish. It's kingfish crack, by the way. They're just awesome, awesome, awesome bait for kingfish. Easy way to rig them is with the triple hook rig. Single size 2-aught hook is what I use on the front. That goes up from under through the bottom of the jaw out to the nose. Then the second hook, this is all on done on 60-pound wire, haywire twist the whole way down. And then about, depending on the size of the ribbon fish, if we're talking like a 18-inch ribbon fish, then about 8 inches down from that, I have a size 2, or, yeah, size 2, 4X strong treble hook. Okay, when you put that in the body, instead of holding the hook like you normally would, if you're pulling on it, how it's, the barbs would be sticking up, flip it around so the barbs are sticking towards the tail, slide it up the body a little bit, then insert it along its back. Okay? Hey, but you want as much... You don't want a lot of tension in that. The reason is because when you go to troll this, because you're going to troll these baits for those kingfish, king mackerel for everyone else, not whiting or roundhead. You want that bait to swim naturally, and if it's pulling from its tail, it'll just start spinning on you, and that they don't like to hit stuff that spins. You know what I mean? So as long as you have as much all the tension coming from its face, and that wire is running straight back along its body to where it's hooked again, then you're good. If it's a really long bait, I'll add a third treble hook and just let that just stay free and loose. And I'll even add a white with silver flake or a red bucktail kind of slip-on teaser like you'd see on a flounder rig to that last one. The reason for that is fish don't eat things that look good. Fish eat things that don't look right. If that makes any sense. I learned this from Frank Mundus. If you add something different, you know, if you're running a trolling bait, like let's say a Williamson, a Williamson Ballyhoo, or the flying fish, it looks just like a flying fish on top of the water, right? But if you go ahead and add some a strip of a reflective flash on that on the side of it, now it's got a flash to it when it rolls, and now it just doesn't look right. And that's a bait that's always going to get hit. So
how about a skirt?
Yeah, exactly right. Just a skirt, just placed over the especially for kings, a skirt over the head. You know, don't have to go crazy with it. you know, like your King Dusters are great. It all depends on your region. Up here, it's white and blue. Work excellent at the nose. It'll help the bay from getting fouled up, too. So I guess I'm adding two. I'm looking at my box right now. I have two skirts on my one. One on the nose, and then my long one has one on the tail. Just add that little extra, you know, flash, a little extra different. That works very well. I've had a lot of kings hit baits like that. Especially when I troll bluefish. Kings love eating bluefish, if you didn't know. You know, same thing, right through the lips. But I really bolden up my front hook on a bluefish. I'm using like a, I'm trying to think of the numbers because I'm looking at it right now. I think it's a 4-aught straight octopus hook, non-offset, just a straight, you know, octopus hook. So this way the bluefish can slightly open his mouth to let the water come through him. He is still alive 9 times out of 10. Trolling bluefish is like trying to troll mullet or Spanish mackerel. Pain in the butt. So as long as I, you know, give him some opportunity to open his mouth, I do the same thing. You know, bring that wire right up to his back, turn it backwards, stick it in, and then let that. I always do a trailer on a bluefish, and I always want that trailer just behind his tail. And for that, for if you need to add a trailer, the easiest way to do it is make your normal two-hook rig, all haywire twists, your duster on the front, all right, and then where you connect your treble hook to the wire, okay, put a solid ring. You can buy them a lot of times from the same tackle shops that you know, or look at the section where the vertical jigs are, okay? You'll see them for the guys that make their own stinger hooks or trailer hooks. It's a solid welded ring, okay? Try to get not the biggest one, but a decent size one. You're looking in around, especially if they have, you know, poundage, you're looking for about 125 pounds, which is a pretty decent ring, okay? The reason I say solid ring is because the wire you're using, a 60-pound wire or less, is very thin. And it'll get caught in a regular split ring and slide right out. So you're working against yourself. But if you use a solid ring, haywire twist from your main hook to that, okay? And then I just do a haywire twist to the ring and to the hook at the same time, okay? And that ring, if this makes any sense, that ring is where I would take a snap swivel to my trailer hook and connect it to that, if that makes any sense. I'm going to make different sizes. So this way, my hook is still connected to the wire, the main wire. The ring is connected to the main wire. My trailer is connected to a barrel swivel, a small one. You get them at the Spro ones, 30-pound Spro with the snap swivel on it. Excellent barrel swivel, extremely strong. I have yet to lose a fish on a 30-pounder. I use it on all my tuna rigs as my line-to-line main connector for my wind-on. It runs through my guides beautifully, so that gives you an idea. It can handle big tuna without any problem. We're talking anything up to 100 pounds on the yellowfin side, 150 pounds, 200 pounds on the big eye side. That swivel can handle it. It's got a little snap on it, which is perfect. Snap that on there, and I have them in sizes of 4. I'm looking at my bags right now because I've got a big weekend ahead of me. I have them in 4-inch. 6-inch and 8-inch increments, different sizes that I've made. So it gives you an idea of how to rig up baits for those kings. And talking about the ribbon fish too, they are a pest, I know. Take them and freeze them. They make great cut bait for, you know, drum. Everything eats ribbon fish. It's when they're small. I mean, we're talking in the 4 to 5-inch range. They are gulped down by everything, flounder, spot, big spot, big croaker, gulp down, you know, 2 to 3 inch ribbon fish when they're babies. You know, and then they move up to bluefish, which terrorize them, and the Spanish Mackerel, because they are shiny and bright, and Spanish Mackerel go freaky on anything bright and shiny. And then when they get big, the kings, the cobias, the sharks, the stripers, everything eats them. So, yeah, hope that answered that question. We're going to go down to Yak Chum asks, whatever happened to that Hatteras beach closures? We are fighting tooth and nail on trying to get Hatteras beaches back open to POV access, personal authorized vehicles. For those of you that know, that don't know, beach trucks, beach vehicles, because, yeah, it's just insane down there right now. There are a few spots where you can get on and drive maybe 200 yards off the on the beach, and then you got to turn around and come right back. Not a whole lot for us to do, but there are a lot of petitions going around, a lot of meetings, a lot of, you know, it's really hitting the economic side of the Outer Banks, with places that had, shovels and beach chairs and everything else. Now they're going out, going out of business because no one wants to drive down there if they can't drive on the beach, or if they can't even walk on the beach. It's a huge blow to them. But hopefully through due diligence, they'll follow in the footsteps of New York. Driving on the beach up there has always, I grew up as a kid as a Long Island Beach Buggy Association lifetime member. I mean, it's, driving on the beach on Long Island is kind of like a, God-given right to many people. But being able to drive down around, Democrat Point, Montauk, the cops can. It's down in Hatteras. It's kind of weird. But they finally realized, ooh, this is really hurting, the local economy, because you're getting, beach buggy guys driving down from all around the state and other states to drive on your beach, because it's a beautiful thing to be able to drive down and enjoy a whole beach side and everything else. And there's no true reason to, shut off a 8-mile stretch of beach for one bird, or to kill hundreds of foxes and cats and, just a bunch of other stuff because you're worried about that animal destroying that nest. It's insane, and we're working on bettering the area. So, all right. You got anything, LGB, you want to talk about?
We didn't go on our offshore trip because the charter boat, the captain had boat problems the day before, but we rescheduled for not this weekend, but next weekend. If the weather's all right, we'll be going.
Excellent. What do you guys going to be fishing for?
Anything bottom wise, amberjack,
right.
Sharks. They've caught dolphin out there, black
cool.
sea bass. Typical reef stuff.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, bring some vertical jigs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm bring some.
Oh man, that's a blast, especially when you find the amberjack. You don't need to do any speed jigging, just like the whirly gig or any of those center weighted ones where they do most of the work for you. You just lift really high and reel it back down, where the lure does all the work for you. Yeah, you'll be going to lift it up one time, and it gets about halfway, and then rocket slams to the ground because he's hammered it. Nothing feels better, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping to catch something because I've seen I forget the guy's name on YouTube, but he fishes out of Florida in a kayak, and he's got videos where he does jigging, and he caught like a big amberjack, and it was awesome because he was like. That fish was giving him and his rod and reel all it can handle, and
right.
And so I'm hoping to have something like that. I'd like to get a nice fish on, nice run,
yeah,
nice fight.
And that if you find the Amberjacks, you'll definitely get into them. Or a big Jack Revelle. A big Jack. Oh, if you didn't know, Jacks are off the oceanfront of Virginia Beach. They're Arley. We're talking 30, 40 pounds. Perfect size for on the kayak. Oh, man. Tackle busting, silvery. Oh. Anyway. But yeah, if you hit it into a big Jack, you'll know it too, because Jacks don't necessarily bulldog you. They'll just tear off. Just all of a sudden, you've got, 400 yards on your spool, and a split second later, you've got maybe 200, and it's like, ooh, that was bad. it'll definitely test your tackle.
I didn't have really a whole lot of big rod and reels. I broke down and bought a Shimano 8000 bait runner.
Right.
On a 7 foot Star Stellar light rod, and I bought that for offshore fishing here, and I figured I can use it when we go to the boondoggle.
Definitely. We'll try to find some larger fish. That time of year last year, we found some really big red drum. We're talking up to 50-inch drum. I think the smallest one was like 39. So 39 and 50-inch big honking drum. Right, no more than 500 yards from the beach. And that'll test your tackle, buddy. Not as much probably an AJ, but they'll beat you up. I'm hoping that they're there this year. Because I'd love to get, everyone in the boondoggle, a monster drum in their lap. I think that would be very cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So looking forward to that. And been messing around in Harbor here. We went to a place off of Sullivan's Island. It's
what?
The locals call it the Grillage. It's an area where, like, in the harbor, it's like in between Sullivan's Island and Morris Island. It's like a narrow part that when the tide runs through it, it cuts through there pretty good, and it's a pretty deep area. I think the shipping channel is probably about 40 to 45 foot deep, and this hole is about 60 to 65 feet deep. And we went out a couple times there and did some bottom fishing there, and the guys around here say this is as close to getting offshore as you can, as far as like being right off the beach, and it just kind of goes straight down. And
right.
We've been fishing there and stuff, but the current is real bad through there because it's a narrow. It's like a narrowing, and there's like three rivers that dump through there when the tide's moving out. And we just have to be, we have to kind of time it right when the tide's almost, I guess, about an hour before slack tide, and then like an hour on the other side. After that, it gets kind of hard to stay anchored in one spot, and it's kind of dangerous running through there. But
right.
There was guys catching, I think we didn't have the right bait that day. Well, we went last Saturday and right at slack tide when the water started moving, again, we were catching black sea bass. I caught a 3 foot shark. I think it was a sharp nose.
Nice.
And, catching toad fish and, little, fish on the bottom, but there was guys around us catching big bull reds. I heard D.D. Olson call me on the radio. He said, come in, LGB. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And he's like, look at 1 o'clock. Look at that guy fighting that fish. I guess they were, and I found out later on they were probably using blue crab on
right.
the bottom for those big bull reds. And I was like, man, we got to bring some of that next time. But I was like, I don't know if, in between this current and a fish like that, I said, I can't imagine fighting a fish like that in a kayak. So we
that'll be a test of you and your tackle's mettle.
Yeah. Do you have any experience anchoring in your kayak?
Yes.
The question I wanted to ask was, you know, the couple times we went and we anchored down, we were anchoring. I anchor off the front of my kayak on my anchor trolley because it sits higher, and I'm afraid with the stiff current trying to do a stern presentation as far as like into the current.
Right.
If that would be safe. What's your thoughts on that?
In really swift current, I kind of go with the thought, go with the current, or into the current is the best way to put it. I want my bow, and I want to be able to see my anchor line at all times. Plus, you have less likelihood of someone running over top of your line. I don't know how big the area is, if you know there's motorboats around you. You get a motorboat, or you know, because you can pay off a good amount of road to be able to get a good anchor, or for the anchor to really hold. Being able to be able to see it is key. And having a buoy on a release buoy, so if you do get in a situation, you can quickly just release it. I always recommend the clam style, and not the S-curve or any of the other ones. But that clam style, all you do is you just grab that line, just pull, and it pops right out, and it slides right through your anchor trolley. Plus, when you anchor with your stern in the current, that stern wasn't never really truly meant to catch and track you well. So you'll be sitting there, all of a sudden you start drifting to the right. Okay, and then all of a sudden you start drifting to the left. You'll be doing that all day long. And it just drives you insane because you finally get the bait where you want it. Now you're pulling, and you're pulling that bait out of that hole. It's better off to do it right off the bow. Always mindful of where that anchor line is. So if you do hook into a fish and you see him start to run in that direction, you can adjust. Things like that. And plus, same thing, I take everything that I know from boat fishing and running boats, and that is you never, ever, 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 ever anchor from the stern. All you need is one good wake, that freaky currents for that wave to come by, and that anchor all of a sudden catches, you didn't see it, and then your stern swamps underneath, you basically just turn yourself into a submarine, like a big lip crank. I think it's going to, because usually the sterns of most kayaks are flat on the back. You all of a sudden catch that current, it's going to drive you straight under. At least if it's in front of you, you can see it happen. You can quickly release it, and it'll pop you back up. I've seen boats, small boats, we're talking, 10, 12 footers, and rivers anchor off the stern, not paying attention, and someone passes by on their boat. They get swamped out of the back, and next thing you know, the boat's on the bottom, and they're sitting there floating going, ooh, if they can swim. It's just one of those things you never want to take that chance in really swift current. Now, if you were just, let's say you were in, some little backwater, like Chokoloskee, for instance, mm-hmm. Where we're sitting there, where we don't have to worry about a swift current, there's maybe a little itty-bitty current, where basically the anchor goes straight down, and that's all the road you need to hold place. Anchoring off the stern would be fine. But in really swift current, anchor off your bow.
Okay.
You don't want to have a situation where you basically turn into a big crankbait.
That was my one fear because I was thinking about that too because the Cuda doesn't, the Cuda has a good front rake in the front,
right.
The bow goes up in the front, but the back doesn't, and I was afraid of, catching a wave and then, go underwater. And so I was fishing off the front. And to give you an idea of how swift the water runs through there during the tide change,
right,
I was using 8 ounces of lead to get on the bottom. And
right,
my line was out in about a 45-degree angle with 8 ounces of lead on it to get to the bottom. So that gives you an idea of how strong the current moving through there is and stuff. And my thing about that is, you know, I had the anchor out. I probably had about 100 feet anchor line out, and it's probably, you know, with the waves coming off the harbor and the shipping channel, it was probably about 2 foot swells.
Yeah.
There, you know, and you know, the boat did really good in that, but just being anchored off the front and so basically, you know, I'm sitting there and I can stick my rod in the back rod holder and have it off the back, and I'm basically sitting sideways in the kayak watching my line, you know, and waiting for something to hit it. And
right,
I was thinking, if I get a big fish on here, I'm going to be fighting all that current plus the fish, because he's going to run down current. And so,
not necessarily. Usually when you get, they do the salmon thing where they turn into the current. Because
mm-hmm.
now they're not, because if it makes any sense, they're getting a huge amount of, water through their gills, so now they can fight harder. You're going to be fighting them against the current as well, and plus on the bottom, a lot of times there's little sloughs and little alleyways where they can get away from the current and they'll run up current. But, you know, if he all of a sudden takes off down current and he starts heading downstream, pop that anchor line and go chase him. It's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, you can paddle back through. And little tip for everyone, don't paddle straight onto a head current. You'll kill yourself. Angle yourself. Tend to a zigzag pattern, if that makes any sense. Where you're kind of using the current to your advantage, and it'll kind of push you. Think sailboating, of, you know, doing a sailboat thing in here, where they go back and forth like that, same kind of thing. It'll actually won't hurt you as bad. And what I do is I actually go up above my buoy, and then if I can see my buoy, I go up above it, baba buoy, and kind of float back into it, and then I'll grab my float from there, and I'll just hold on for a second, and then get everything lined up again and rock and roll.
I use a float on my anchor line, and we had something happen, and I won't go into too much detail, but let me say that I had to throw my anchor line out and go to somebody's rescue.
Right.
And my anchor, you know, the buoy actually sank.
Right.
In the current. And a guy that, in a motorboat, I think he was a guide, he said, I saw you had to throw your anchor out real fast with your float. He said, I'll come back later on and see if it resurfaces. And so I was like, okay, well, thanks. Yeah, but I had to throw my line out.
How much anchor line did you have played out?
I think I had about 100 feet out.
Yeah, I would go to 200 because when... There's a huge formula on, you know, trying to figure out, okay, I'm in, you know, 100 foot of water, I'm in 50 foot of water, and then, you know, it's going, the water's moving this fast, and how much anchor load I need. Move it up to like 150 or 200 foot, and you won't have that problem, because basically you're just not giving enough room to, for that whole road to play out, or bump up your float, or put two floats on there. I've got a couple that have two big crab floats on there, just in case kind of thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna do that because I'm gonna be going back to the store and buying some more anchor line and and stuff. So
also, pretty much every kayak anchor nowadays has a double point of connection. One by the head, where at the very bottom where the stuff actually grinds into the bottom, and then your normal hookup point. What you want to do for easier retrieval is on that very bottom point by the head of the where it grinds in the bottom, tie up there as your main anchoring point. You know, either you have someone splice it in there, like a nail knot so it locks itself in there, then run it up to the main shaft of the anchor, and then if it's really strong current, I put two zip ties, you know, the small little white ones or black ones or whatever you can find, two zip ties on there. This way, when we're trying to pull it up, I know it happens all the time for me. If it gets caught, I just can't get the darn thing off. If I have it in null position, but if I have it there, I just get a couple of really good pulls, and those zip ties break. And now I'm pulling from the back end and kind of just, you know, pulling straight out of there. If that makes any sense, kind of folding itself over top itself. I pull it up. I've always got it, you know, extra zip ties with me. My PFD. I actually keep them in that Lamborghini Cool Guy Jackson bag on the back of my seat. I just reach back there, grab a couple more, retie them in, and roll with it. And one second, I'd like to welcome the original Godfather himself, Chip 300 Gibson, to the chat room. Folks, tomorrow night, broadcasting live from Sunjammers in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Nice.
Tune in tomorrow night, 8 p.m. It's going to be a great show. I know Brad at Sunjammers is going to be there. I believe Miss Linda Cavett will be there, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Gibson, the queen, Miss Cavett. If you don't know, she is an amazing woman, one hell of a fisherman. So tune in tomorrow night, Thursday night at 8 p.m. Well, she has to work. So I guess Ms. Kevin won't be there. But tune in tomorrow night, like I said, 8 p.m., as we do a live show from Panama City Beach, Florida, at Sunjammers. So if you're in Panama City Beach, make the drive to Sunjammers, join Chip and everyone else, and we'll have a great time tomorrow night. All right. You know, I got to do something. Chip here. Not really Chip's forte, but that's the helicopter's revolving around the dome that Chip has, you know, getting the top view for the video cameras. Usually use big balloons for that, but they decided that dust off. There you go.
Whenever I hear that, I'm thinking of the opening to the A-Team. You know, when they talk about... convicted for a crime they did not commit. These men promptly escaped.
Kelly, you were a fan. What's everyone talking about?
We were talking about anchors.
Yes. But I do all my anchors like that. Even my wreck anchors, surprisingly. Because if you can't get it in the first couple of pulls, right, usually if you can pull it from that back end, it'll hopefully pull out. If not, you're kind of giving it a different direction, and usually the tines will straighten out, hopefully soon. A buddy of mine has a Navy anchor for his kayak, one of those small ones that's about a 3-pounder. If you don't know what a Navy anchor is, folks, it's one with the big flukes, the big flat size. Just look at a naval ship or any big ship, Navy anchor. And he does the same thing. He actually created his own hole to be able to do it like that. Sharks. But everyone's talking about fishing. Good to go. Let's see here. What are we doing on time? Whew, we almost hit our hour.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's see here.
That pulled there you over the edge.
Yes, it did. I haven't done a yay in a while, so. Been good. Let me pull up the weather. Give everyone a weather report for the region. We'll start with, let's see here. Start with Virginia. For the weekend, do it right here. Chip says we are going to try an Ustream tomorrow night. Also, we have a channel. Cool. So, folks, you can go to www.ustream, that's the letter U, stream, like the river, .tv/channel/kayakfishingradio. I'm interested in that. I'm going to look at that a little bit later. But this weekend's forecast from Virginia. Chance of thunderstorms on Saturday. Thunderstorms could produce heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy with a high near 85. Chance of precipitation is 50%. So I'm not quite sure. They're kind of just throwing stuff at the dartboard. So that should be interesting. Remember, big thunderstorms mean big wind. So be very careful with that. Saturday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Thunderstorms could produce heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy, live around 76. Chance of precip could be a yes or no. Sunday, looking better. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, high near 82. Chance of precip is 40%. So this weekend looks good for Virginia. Slide on down to North Carolina, shall we? We'll get one here from, let's see here. Manteo, North Carolina, right in smack dab the Outer Banks. For Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely. Cloudy at the high near 83. Chance of precip is 60%. So that looks good for Saturday. Of course, watch out for those day rumors. They can get you. Chance of showers and thunderstorms for Sunday. Probably sunny at the high near 83. Again, that is Manteo. Still a little far off for a wind forecast, but not bad anyway. You know, pretty much guarantee that those thunderstorms will get you. Let's do Northern South Carolina, right on the, let's go back here, let's see where I'm at. Let's do it for Myrtle Beach, there it is. Forecast for this weekend for South Carolina, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high near 87. You know, it's kind of funny that you always put this chance of showers and thunderstorms. It's the summertime, folks. You're not used to popcorn storms where they just also pop out of nowhere. Then open your eyes. So pretty much the same thing. Showers, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high near 87. Sunday, same thing. Showers and thunderstorms. Pretty much every day says chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high near 88. Actually, Sunday for y'all looks better, with a 30% chance of rain. And then we'll drop down to Charleston here in a second. Let's see here. We're going to get it from Mount Pleasant. All right, from Mount Pleasant, which is in the center of Charleston. Saturday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah.
partly sunny at the high near 90. Ooh, nice and warm. And then for Sunday, showers and thunderstorms again. There's a chance. Mostly
showers
sunny at the
and
high
thunderstorms.
Near 89. But your chance of precip is 30% for both days. So, if you're in Carolina, South Carolina, you're looking better than us up here. All right, weatherman Wheeler. I'm hopefully going to try to do this every time. So we can try to make a plan. If you want winds, we got fish weather too. That'll give us an idea. Let's see if I can find that real fast. There it is. We'll do the marine or the weather for the wind for Rudy Inlet. Hey, I'm all about this here, folks. For Saturday, windy out of the west at 11 a.m., looking at 8 miles an hour coming out of the west. By 8 p.m., out of the west again at 5. On Sunday, coming out of the north-northeast. Wow, that's a big change from this morning. I just looked at the Rudy forecast and it showed it coming out of the northeast for Saturday. Crazy, huh? Sunday, coming out of the northeast, turning east by 8 p.m. It's probably sustained around 8 miles an hour through the whole day. All right, drop down to Carolina. I guess I should get all the stuff before I do the show, huh? Jockey's Ridge in Carolina. Let's see here, which is pretty much right around Oregon Inlet area. Ooh. Southwest winds. Morning, stay home. 13 to 14 knots. Turning west in the afternoon. Between 13 and 10. And then for Sunday, out of the west, all morning long, 14 to 11 knots, turning west again, staying west pretty much, and becoming calm between 4 and 5. Not too bad. All right, let me give you one for down in South Carolina. Try to split y'all's, split you in half. Here. All right. Let's do. If you want, I just clicked on. All right, we'll do this one. Beaufort Marine Air Station. Rough. All right. For Saturday, southwest winds. Pretty much the average is going to be around 6 miles an hour. Blowing pretty hard in the between 11 and 2, between 8 and 9 miles an hour. But the rest of the day, not too bad. Coming out of southwest. And then on Sunday, southwest moving south in the afternoon, between 5 and 8 knots, 8 miles an hour, excuse me. Looks like Sunday's going to be a good day for you all out there. That should be blowing everything into the harbor.
Yeah, we're going to be going to... we're going to be going to off of Folly Beach to try for some tarpon.
Nice. Definitely, man. Get on them. Oh, tarpon yeah. Bite right now along the Atlantic Ocean. Awesome. Everything from where I'm at south. so, yeah, you guys should really get into them good.
Hope so.
We want reports, man. Report us. Let us know. And remember, folks, if it hits anything out of the northeast, we're up here, mid-Atlantic north, you can double it and add 2 to 3 feet to every wave height that they say. anything east, northeast, really churns up the bay, so be very careful. Even west winds will turn up the bay at the mouth, so do be careful, do be safe, and dooby-dooby-doo. All right. We've done weather, we've done reports. Remember, folks, go to osarch.org, research yourself, learn some stuff, and let's bring the word out and hopefully stop the needless slaughter of sharks. All right, another touching moment. Brought to you by the kids. Thank you, kids. All right. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. Mr. LGB, it's an absolute pleasure, buddy.
Thank you.
To have you on. It's good to have to talk to someone for a while. Mr. Shark Warp, who's been diligently listening in throughout this whole thing. Hopefully, he made it home safely. Thank you for listening. It's greatly appreciated. To everyone in the chat room, the two guests, Mr. R. Lee. Yak Chum, for Chip, remember, Chip Show, driving from Ustream, you want that link, it's www.ustream.tv/channel/kayakfishingradio, all one word. All from Sunjammers down in Panama Beach City, Florida. Live tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Check it out. Again, thank you, Arlie, Mr. Yak Chum, everyone that showed up. Can't say enough. Thank you. I thank my sponsors, Akuma, Yeti Coolers, Wildly Stronger, Keeps Ice Longer, Bloody Decks Outdoors, Frog Pogs, Mustad, Hook a Million Challenge, go to mustad.com, Kayak Fishing TV, Ham Sandwiches, Gatorade, you name it, we've got it. Slayer Inc., Baddest Baits on Earth. If I missed you, I apologize. But it's time for me to go. Hope everyone has a wonderful night, a great weekend. Remember, folks, always wear your PFD. It does you no good when you're floating away with it being on your kayak. Wear your PFD. Take a kid fishing. You will change their lives, trust me. And have fun. The name of the game. With that, I will say adieu. We are going to go out tonight with the Osarge intro. Where is it at? There it is. With that, I say goodnight and crank it up, baby.